This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
I'm Martin Strong. Let's get right to the consumer news from the past week. Gas prices have been climbing again, well over $2 a liter in most places. But if you ignore those higher gas prices, inflation was actually down slightly this past March. That's according to Statistics Canada. Mainly because of the price of gas, inflation was up 2.9% compared to the year before in March. In February, that number was 2.8%. So it's only a slight increase. And that's good news if you're hoping for an interest rate cut, because inflation seems to be cooling and it's looking more and more like the Bank of Canada will decide to start cutting rates as early as June. The latest federal budget came out this past week, and in it, the Liberal government made some big changes to how corporations and people who own a lot of stocks will pay in taxes. The new budget proposes increasing the capital gains tax to 2/3 rather than what it used to be, which was 1/2. A lot of businesses are not happy with that, and some say it will level the playing field, though. University of Calgary economics professor Trevor Toome says that changes like this would help bring capital gains taxation in line with other taxation, such as what you get taxed on with your wages. Remember that gold heist at Toronto's Pearson Airport that happened a year ago? Nearly $20 million in gold and cash was taken from Air Canada's cargo facility in Toronto. Well, this week, police revealed that two of the suspects actually worked for Air Canada. 9 people have been charged, with warrants issued for 3 others. Cops say somebody showed up at the Air Canada cargo facility with an airway bill that had been doctored. It was an old one that had been changed, but it actually worked. A forklift soon showed up and loaded up the nearly $20 million worth of gold and currency onto a truck, and that's the last they saw of it. Police have only recovered about $89,000 of the more than $20 million worth of gold. Things are not going all that great at Tesla. After reporting dismal first quarter sales, the electric car company is planning to lay off about 1/10 of its workforce. CEO Elon Musk detailed the plans in a memo sent to employees. The layoffs could affect about 14,000 of the 140,000 people who work at Tesla, which is based in Austin, Texas. News of the layoffs was first reported by an electrical vehicle website, Electrek. As soon as that story was posted on the website this past Monday, shares of Tesla fell nearly 3% in morning trading. But despite all that, Musk is still asking shareholders to vote on his pay package, which is worth $56 billion over the next 10 years. Stockholders will have to vote on whether Musk has met the requirements for that huge payday at the next annual meeting of Tesla on June 13th. And speaking of brands with problems, Doc Marten shoes. For a while there, they were very popular with their clunky soles. They made big boots as well. It was kind of a rebellious look. Started in the 60s, got really big in the punk rock years of the late 70s and early 80s, and then got even more popular in the days of grunge. But like a lot of fashion, it doesn't last forever. Shares of Doc Martens plunged this week after the British company revealed their latest revenue projections, double-digit declines compared to last year. They also announced that the CEO of Doc Martens would be stepping down. Well, Canucks wrapped up their very stellar regular season on Thursday night. They will meet Nashville in the playoffs in Game 1 at home tomorrow, 7 o'clock. And while it was a great regular season for the Canucks, it was also a pretty lucrative one for the NHL in general. The National Hockey League set another revenue record with an estimated $6.2 billion in revenue this season. That's U.S. And they announced this week a new single-season attendance record of more than 22.5 million tickets sold to see the games live around the league. And in the theaters this weekend, new movies that came out yesterday include Abigail. She's a 12-year-old ballerina who gets kidnapped but it turns out she's the dangerous one. Also new this weekend, Sasquatch Sunset with Jesse Eisenberg. That's about a family of Sasquatches. Looks kind of interesting. The movie that's getting a lot of attention, though, is Civil War. It takes place in the near future, where 19 states have separated from the U.S. and find themselves in a rapidly escalating civil war. This is Vancouver Consumer on CKNW. Coming up, it's the province's biggest cycling fundraiser that aims to put an end to cancer in our lifetime. How can you get involved? When we come back, I'll tell you about that right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. It's Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong. And if you sometimes need a little help getting around, you probably already know the name Sunquest Mobility. They're in New Westminster, one of the leading providers in the Lower Mainland of mobility products and medical equipment. They serve everybody from the elderly to kids, from wheelchairs and walkers to stair lifts to ramps, pretty much anything and everything you could think of. They're also very excited to be part of the BC Tour de Cure. It's the province's biggest cycling fundraiser put on by the BC Cancer Foundation this August. And with me now from Sunquest Mobility, which you can find online, by the way, sunquestmobility.com, is Ehsan Tehran. How are you, Ehsan?
Good, Martin. Thank you for having me.
Excellent, excellent. And as you tell me, a lot of your customers just refer to you as ET.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it's my initials, but I'm in love with the character as well. So,
yeah, you could do a lot worse than that, I guess. Let's talk about this BC Tour de Cure that Sunquest Mobility is a big part of. It's this August, and it's a pretty important thing for the people at Sunquest Mobility, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Both my parents, my mom and dad, are cancer survivors themselves. Mm-hmm. So, as paying a tribute, because of that, I felt like I had to take part in it. And also, a big percentage of our customers are people that are going through cancer treatment. They go through dialysis or any other treatment. Unfortunately, we only have 24 hours in a day. I can't support all of my customers and go to dialysis treatment with them or go to their cancer treatments. But we felt like this is the best way of us showing our support to our customers and show a little bit of solidarity and show them that we are in this journey with them and we would like to support them.
Right. And Sunquest Mobility is such a big part of the community because it's not just people with cancer. It's such an important thing, all these medical supplies that people need. And as the population ages, we need more of these things, you know, like walkers and wheelchairs and stair lifts and ramps.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, what this is kind of the future, sort of an accessible future that we see for ourselves in the Lower Mainland, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Canadian population is aging, and we definitely need more and more of this sort of businesses that's help people in this sector. But our goal at Sunquest is to become synonymous with this industry itself. So our goal is to become the only one that you guys think about when anything happens regarding mobility or any other medical issues, to know that Sunquest is there and we would be able to help you. Are we there at the moment? No, it's going to be a long and windy road to get there, but that's our North Star that we were trying to aim for.
Yeah. And let's talk about a typical day for you. I mean, you know, you might get a call, somebody wants to put in a stair lift in their house. What are some of the things that you do at Sunquest Mobility that are really helping people?
So we provide mobility aids, complex rehab aids, and stair lifts in basically what we call ourselves here at Sunquest. We call ourselves Seniors Toys R Us. If you want it, we got it.
I like that. Seniors Toys R Us.
Yes. So I might fix a couple of walkers, or I might install a stair lift at somebody else, a customer's home, or go to a care facility to pick up wheelchairs and service them and bring them back to them. So it's vastly different. It's widely different. Mm-hmm. Every day is a different thing to do.
Yeah. And I talk to a lot of people who are involved in the building trades and, you know, in the real estate business. And the one thing that you hear about all the time is multi-generational homes that are being either built especially for multi-generations, meaning they have, you know, maybe kids in the in-law suite, then they have the grandparents who live maybe mm-hmm. in the basement or something. And I guess that nowadays, having a house that is really equipped with these kind of mobility aids is becoming more and more common, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. There's a lot that has been done in this in this avenue, but there's still a lot more that needs to be done. Like, I was one of the people that thought, oh, they have done a lot in this field, but one thing I did is if I wanted to, for example, go to the bank and deposit a check or anything, or very simple things around the neighborhood, I started driving scooters, wheelchairs, power chairs to go get my very small things done around the neighborhood. And I realized that the problems that people in these equipments face and how difficult it is. So like I said, a lot has been done. That's a good thing, but we still have a long way to go.
Mm-hmm. And one of the words that I read when I was on the website, sunquestmobility.com, talking about, you know, medical equipment, the word that you guys use is humanizing medical equipment. And I guess it's one of those things. It's not one size fits all, right?
No, definitely not. And we need to keep in mind that we live in Canada. It's a multicultural society. And we work with, let's say, there's a family that comes from India, somebody from Egypt, somebody from Iran, where I'm from. And you need to know, because the way you talk to a family from China, for example, is completely different than the way you talk to a family that's from India, for example. And to give you an example, to give you a story about this, where I really thought that this needs to be humanized is it was, I think, around the first year that we bought that we had this business, and a family came in from Lebanon,
right?
And it was the mom, the dad, the son, and the daughter that came, and they needed to. The father had been immobile for a little while, and he was refusing to get into any kind of mobility equipment. And they brought him into the store to get him a wheelchair. And when we were trialing wheelchair for this dad, he started crying and begging his son not to put him in a wheelchair, because he thought sitting in a wheelchair is make him less than what he actually is.
Right.
And that actually got me really sad about the issue that people think about the fact that, okay, if I'm sitting in a wheelchair or any kind of mobility equipment, I'm less than. But the people that design these, us vendors that sell them and our suppliers, do not have this mentality in mind. And their goal is to actually get people mobile and get them out there. So long story short, I get sidetracked. We finally talked to this dad and put him in a wheelchair. And about a month and a half, 2 months later, he came in, and that again, he was really thankful that he made the decision, because he hadn't been able to go out with his grandkids for months. And he said, yeah, I'm finally able to take my grandkids out to the park and spend time with them, and we can finally go out. So thank you for convincing me to sit in a wheelchair. And that's where I realized, okay, we need to change the mentality about these equipments and have people look at them in a different way.
That's a lovely story. Yeah. Cause I never really thought of that before, but I bet that's a very common scenario where people, they don't want to be seen as immobile. So they don't want to use the tools, but in the end, they are just tools that can help make a better life for people.
Absolutely. Well, if you think about it, an engineer that designs a wheelchair doesn't think of it, okay, I want to design this to make the person that sits in it feels less than. Their goal is to, okay, we're sitting down, we're designing a wheelchair to have the people that have difficulty moving, have a more get them moving again or get them active again.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's amazing. And I guess it's all part of the emotional well-being of your clients. We're talking to Ehsan Tehran from Sunquest Mobility, sunquestmobility.com. And it really is more than just the equipment. And I guess with your staff, I was reading that there's a lot of training that goes into the sort of human aspect of dealing with people who have mobility issues.
Yes. Absolutely. Like I mentioned before, because we live in a multicultural society, we have to keep in mind that you cannot have a general solution for everybody and apply the same thing across the board. Every family comes from a different background, from a different culture, and we have to respect that and keep in mind that there are different things that people are that have different value points for people. And we need to focus on those and bring those values up and show it to people what these equipment are able to do for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's much more than just equipment. It's really helping people live a better life, depending on where they are. And it's not just the elderly, it's also kids, and it's all part of the mandate of Sunquest Mobility. They are at 6th Street in New Westminster. They're in the Royal City Center in New Westminster. And you can go to their website at sunquestmobility.com. And we're talking to Ehsan Tehran with Sunquest Mobility, ET, as he is fondly known by a lot of people. And when we come back, this is Vancouver Consumer. And when we come back, I want to talk about some of the real cutting edge stuff that's being done, because it's funny when you look at an antique wheelchair, it looks so much different than the kind of wheelchairs they have now. And the friends that I have who use wheelchairs, they sometimes have three of them. They have, you know, one that they use to play tennis with, and it's not a one size fits all thing. And it's all there at Sunquest Mobility. And like I say, you can go to sunquestmobility.com to find out everything you need to know. And when we come back, I want to hear about some of the cutting edge technology that's being used for helping people with their mobility. And that's when Vancouver Consumer continues right after this.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Strong. It's Vancouver Consumer. And with me now is Ehsan Tehran from Sunquest Mobility. His clients know him as ET, and ET is with Sunquest Mobility. They're in New Westminster on 6th Street in the Royal City Center on the second floor. You can find them online, sunquestmobility.com. And Sunquest Mobility really handles all sorts of mobility issues for people, from wheelchairs to walkers to stair lifts to ramps, pretty much everything you could think of. And I mean, obviously, it's a lot of elderly people, but it's not just the elderly. You deal with people of all ages and help them with their lifestyle, right?
Oh, absolutely. We have children that we provide equipment for, and people my age, people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, or seniors, absolutely.
Yeah. And we were talking about the technology, and I'm guessing it's changing all the time, especially wheelchairs, for example. I have a friend who plays pretty competitive wheelchair tennis, and she's got all sorts of chairs. One is for tennis, and it's interesting how really specific it is. So I guess it's changing all the time, this technology.
Oh, definitely. Just on the subject of different types of wheelchairs, we can talk for hours on different types of wheelchairs that are available. But everybody thinks, okay, if I'm getting a wheelchair, there's one type. But when every one is different based on person's need. If you need something to be light, if you need something to be portable, if you need something based on your needs, we can find a wheelchair that addresses and meets every single one of your needs. And they're custom made. We can customize everything to every single nut and bolt on a wheelchair, based on the customer, what the customer needs. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I remember there was a wheelchair that was especially made for people to go on sand if they want to go on the beach.
Oh, yeah. The wheelchair races, for wheelchair basketball, any other or day-to-day uses, they're different types. There are wheels that have torque assist on them that makes it easier for you to wheel yourself. Mm-hmm. There's so many different technologies that are available in that field.
Yeah, and I guess the attitude toward people with mobility issues has really, really changed a lot over the years. You know, when you see people, you know, playing competitive basketball while using a wheelchair. And how far do you think we have to go? Do you think we still have a long way to go in changing our attitudes toward people with mobility issues?
I think so, because I would say between, let's say, 30 to 40% of my customers, they have a hopeful attitude that yes, these things are made to help me out. But there's a lot of people that still look at them as something that is intrusive and is not there to help them, and they don't like to be seen with mobility equipment.
Yeah, and. A lot of even the words that we use. I remember once talking to my friend about the phrase "somebody who is confined to a wheelchair," and she said, "I'm not confined to a wheelchair. I use a wheelchair." And it's things like that that are that we're always sort of learning all the time.
Definitely, if you want to point you to the things that we are doing to for example change people's attitude towards this, we have a wall in our store. We call it the Live Free Wall, and our goal is to year by year add people that have been in mobility equipments, and they have been become somebody well known in the community. And right. Our first person that we used on the wall is Michelle Stelwell, who was the Olympics athlete that got medals for Canada, and she's in a wheelchair. We have her on our Live Free Wall, and the attitude towards that have been really interesting, because people come and see it and they like it, and it makes them want to try the products that we have to offer them. Mm-hmm. So it's a multifaceted issue. I can't tell you that, okay, we can do one thing to fix this problem. No, it's going to take a long time, and we have to approach it from different angles to change people's attitude towards it.
Right. Our guest is Ehsan Tehran with Sunquest Mobility, sunquestmobility.com. They provide all sorts of mobility devices, medical products, wheelchairs, walkers, stair lifts, ramps, pretty much everything you can think of. And Ehsan, we were talking before about how the sort of trend in people's homes is the multi-generational house, and that often includes the elderly parents who might live in a basement suite. And because of that, things like stair lifts are becoming really, really important. What is sort of the future in terms of this kind of technology? What are you most excited about? I know there's some pretty interesting new products coming to SunQuest Mobility all the time.
Oh, absolutely. In terms of the multi-generational homes and Stairlift specifically, before we, for example, we had to go and do all the measurements and everything by hand, but there's a new technology that's out there that I'm really excited about. And there are markers, for example, that you use for doing your measurements for the stair lifts, that all of them are digital, and it only takes us, let's say, 20, 30 minutes to do the work that used to take us a couple of hours before. And what's exciting about this is we're able to get to the customer a lot faster. If, for example, it would take us a month to put a stairlift in a place, or 3 weeks, now we can do it within less than a week and go to the customer and get to them a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this must be very satisfying work for you to actually go into someone's house and make it more accessible for them.
Oh, definitely. As I said at the beginning, my mom and dad both are cancer survivors, and I went through this with them. And I this was very early on when I purchased, took over this business. And I went through all this with my parents, and I realized the amount of work that needs to be done. So when I see somebody needing help, I have the ability to understand the severity of the issue and help them out in the best way possible.
Right. And I guess a lot of people take it for granted that, you know, they run up and down the stairs all the time. And then for some people, the stairs are just an impediment that just, you know, impossible to cross.
My suggestion to the people, definitely, some people definitely do. My suggestion would be sit in a wheelchair for a couple of hours and go around your house and see how difficult it is.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's great advice. So one of the initiatives that SunQuest Mobility has is a recycling program. That's pretty interesting. And that's very important to you too, right?
Yes, this is something that we're still in the planning phase, and we're working on it. Most of my customers, when they would come to get a wheelchair or a scooter, that the problem that kept coming up, they would ask us, okay, what do I do with my previous wheelchair, or what do I do with my previous scooter? And we looked around, and there was not a program that comes and looks after these, for example, takes them from the seniors or people that have the mobility issues, even though these are the people that actually need the help. And right. There was nothing in the plan that helps them out. So we're trying to create a program that helps seniors and people with mobility issues, that if they have something that need to get rid of or donate to someplace, we can come and pick it up. And if it needs to be recycled, we properly recycle. Because if you look at it, for example, a scooter, it has plastic in it, it has metal in it, it has battery in it. Every single component on that scooter needs to be recycled properly. Mm-hmm. And that's the plan that we have in the near future, to start doing that for our customers, yes.
Right. I think that's a great idea, because there's probably a lot of people who just don't have the dough, but need some kind of, like, say they need a scooter to get around. And this could be a great solution to that.
Absolutely. For sure.
Mm-hmm. So what's in the future for SunQuest Mobility? I mean, we talk a little bit about that. I think that's a great idea, the sort of the recycling and making sure that scooters that are still have some life in them can go somewhere where they're needed. But what's the future for you with SunQuest Mobility?
The future, our goal is to, as I mentioned before, our goal is to become the company that's synonymous with the sector. So we want to be in, we want to become the company that in people's mind, if they have mobility issues or medical issues, they don't even have to go on Google and Google a company. We want to be the first company that comes into people's minds. And if there is any issues, we want them to give us a call because we're going to do our best to be there for them.
Right. And I guess the first place that people can go to is sunquestmobility.com. I guess that's a good place to start.
Absolutely.
So that's it, sunquestmobility.com. You're also in New Westminster. That's where you live. That's where the office is. It's in the Royal City Center on 6th Street. You can also give them a call at 778-397-8083. It's sunquestmobility.com. Well, Asen Taran, thank you so much for talking. And you're doing some great work. And I just want to wish you all the luck in the world.
I really appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
All right. And also, before I go, I want to remind people about the big the Tour de Cure 2024, organized by the BC Cancer Foundation. And Sunquest Mobility is a big part of that. And you can get involved. So go to sunquestmobility.com and you can find out everything you need to know. And have a great rest of the weekend. And we'll talk to you soon. ET.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Right on. This is Vancouver Consumer. I'm Martin Strong, and it's 4:20 today. And if you are, let's say, a cannabis enthusiast, it's a big day on your calendar. It's celebrated around the world now. And up next, it's the story of the first 4:20 celebration held on April 20th. And depending on who you believe, how it all started right here in Vancouver. That's next.
This is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Strong. Happy 4:20 today, April 20th. Don't know if you celebrate, but it's the day that's all about cannabis. You might know the story, but the term 420 was first coined back in the 1970s by a bunch of teenagers in San Rafael, California. Every afternoon at 20 after 4, these teenagers would meet in the woods near a statue of Louis Pasteur, which was outside their high school. And there they would smoke weed. These students called themselves the Waldos. And because they would meet at the statue of Louis Pasteur, they would use the phrase 420 Louis to let people know what was going on. Just for the record, Louis Pasteur was a French chemist who made all sorts of discoveries involving vaccinations and pasteurizing, which of course was named after him. I'm not sure if he smoked weed, but for a while, Louis Pasteur was part of 420. But that phrase 420 Louis was eventually shortened to just 420. And the term eventually reached hipsters across the country, even the members and fans of the Grateful Dead. And from there, all the deadheads across North America started using the term. And by the early 1990s, 420 was a phrase regularly being used in the magazine High Times. From there, 420 went from referring to a time of day to the actual date, 420, which is, of course, today, April 20th. Just where the first 420 celebration was held on April 20th is a matter of debate. But if you believe Vancouver's Prince of Pot, Mark Emery, the very first 420 celebration was held right here in our town. It was this day in 1995 when more than 200 people gathered in Victory Square on Vancouver's downtown east side to celebrate. The big celebration was organized by employees of the store Hemp BC, which is on Hastings Street across from the Victory Square Cenotaph. That store was at the time owned by Mark Emery, and the event would feature speeches and local bands all starting at noon. April 20th, back in 1995, turned out to be a very beautiful spring day in Vancouver. The crowd peaked just after 4 in the afternoon, around 4:20. With around 250 people, most of them freely lighting up. Now, this was 1995. Views of cannabis were loosening up, but the stuff was still illegal, And this was in a heavily populated area, close to a number of businesses and some colleges, just 25 feet from the big intersection of Cambie and Hastings. Well, police left them alone until about 7 that evening, then quietly let their presence become a little more known, and things wrapped up without too much problem. After 1995, these types of 420 celebrations would start popping up in cities across North America. The year after that, 1996, the size of the Vancouver event would double. More than 500 cannabis supporters showed up. The year after that, in 1997, it would double again with more than 1,000 people. And it's just gotten bigger ever since. Last year in 2023, there were two events in Vancouver, Cannabis Market at Main and Terminal, and the big one was at Sunset Beach Park. And these events are not sanctioned by the city of Vancouver. And that's causing some problems with the city, sometimes being forced to close nearby facilities such as the Vancouver Aquatic Center and the Sunset Beach washrooms. And it also leaves behind a big mess that is very expensive to clean up. Organizers have recently been very quick to call the 420 events not festivals, but protests. But as pot becomes legal and available pretty much everywhere, I'm not sure what's really being protested. But depending on who you believe, the 420 celebration of cannabis culture that's held on April 20th started right here in Vancouver 29 years ago on this date, 1995. This is Vancouver Consumer on CKNW. And up next, did the federal government mislead the public about what we were entitled to after our travel arrangements got canceled because of COVID? One consumer group says yes, they did. That story and all the other consumer news of the past week when we come back right after this.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of the advertiser. The opinions expressed are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of CKNW.